artist and always be frustrated and stuck where you are now? Are you obsessing over what will happen if you fail? This is the kind of negativity and bullshit stories that I'm talking about. Where's that eyes on the prizeness? Where are the negatives that you can turn into positives? You know what you don't want to happen? Now focus on what you do want and how you want to feel. What's your prize? If you took action toward it and things went your way, what would that look like? And how would that feel? What will happen if you actually succeeded? Really let what I said sink in. And maybe, just maybe, this is the reality that you could be living, and you definitely could. But you have to start by focusing on it and maintaining this positive mindset to get you there. Remember, all negativity does is bring you and those around you down. It keeps you stuck in place or moving backward. Negativity doesn't create solutions. It doesn't improve anything. It chokes your ability to make good decisions. Negativity has no place in success besides constantly testing your strength to get past it. Let the church say amen. 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 That's the old lady in the front row of every church. Amen, young man. Amen. Yes, Pastor Hart. Yes. Guy in my church used to talk like that. Yes. Y'all know my mom's name was Nancy. Yes, Nancy, you tell it like it is. Thank you, Lord. That's how I used to talk, dead serious. Thank you, Lord. Let the church say amen. Yes, Nancy. Hello, Brother Hart. Good to see you this morning. God truly is looking down on you. Are you taking care of your mother, son? I'm 7 years old, sir. I don't know what you mean by that. Are you looking after your mother? Nope, not really, sir. Last I checked, she's looking after me. Part 2. Specific trouble friending. Now, this may come as a disappointment to many of you, but you are not me. That's right. I said it. You are not me. You haven't done all the stupid shit that I've done. You've done your own stupid shit. So before we bring this boot camp to a close, I want to look at some very specific problems that some of my listeners are facing right now. Some things might not relate to my life as a Philadelphia kid turned sneaker salesman, turned comedian, turned movie star, turned greatest self-help book author of all time. So I asked around for some struggles you all are having personally with your mental, specific challenges that you're facing. And here, before your very ears, I'm going to use the principles in this very audiobook to solve your biggest problems. You're not going to believe it. I'm going to drop some serious knowledge right here, people. Even though these problems are specific to other people, use them to generalize the issues you're facing in your own life. I got hundreds of questions, but I'm going to limit it here to the top 13. Yeah, I outdid myself again. 13. When does this guy stop? Does he ever sleep? No. I stay awake all night for you to solve your problems. Here we go. Question number one. My specific area is I'm a husband and I'm a father of two. My family life is amazing, but my current career isn't fulfilling me whatsoever. For a long time now, I've been consumed with trying to figure out how to make a career shift while still providing for my family. The hamster wheel just keeps spinning with no breakthrough ideas. Well, this is a common problem. It's a very common problem. So first of all, don't feel like you're alone and you're the only person thinking like this. Advice number one, being a husband and a father of two is an amazing accomplishment. Let's not ever bypass that. You got a family. You got a foundation. At this point, you're always going to come from the mindset of trying to do the most for your family and your foundation. And to be honest with you, it's never really going to be enough. You're never really going to feel like you have enough. Happiness is the thing that makes you feel like nothing else matters. So achieving that within your foundation is what's most important. Understanding that you're happy with your wife, with your kids, with your household is the biggest priority. Because that happiness then spills out into the world. That energy then goes out into the world, into your workplace. It transfers because your vibe and your energy has changed. Your opportunities grow. So what I'll say is, from within the space that you work, you got to find ways to succeed, to excel, to climb up that ladder. Whatever that ladder may be, there's a way to climb up in that particular space, in that corporate structure. Figure that out, master that, and that's how you wiggle your way out into another opportunity. These opportunities don't just come, they're earned. You want to have an amazing resume. You want to be able to go back to this job and use whomever, however, to get the best reference in the world about what you did and what you accomplished and how you made them better. When you check all those boxes, the opportunity that you're waiting for is no longer one that you're waiting for, is one that you're going to take. It's earned. But don't skip past the steps. You can't skip past the necessary steps. So conquer that particular wheel, that world. Conquer it. Be the best that you can be in that. And that justifies you now wanting to leave and do more. That's the best thing in the world. When you want to leave, you got great examples of why. I've exceeded my talent. I have done all that I can do here. I've pushed myself to the limits. I now need more. If you can say that you've done that, then that means that you have the things that I just said. If you haven't, then figure out the best ways how. Great advice, great energy. Next one. Question number two. What do I do about a narcissistic ex that damages our children's hearts, souls, and minds with her behavior? It is so upsetting to me that it's hard to focus on other things because these are our kids and I feel it's my job to protect them. Well, if it's your job to protect them, then that means that you have several things to do here. First and foremost, the relationship between an ex is in a very near and dear situation. Most of these situations are tough. Some of them have a hard time communicating. The reason why is because whatever was done in the past is kind of hard to look past, and it can be male or female. The cause and effect behind a wrongdoing for some is a lifelong fucking journey. Some people just can't look past certain mistakes, actions, wrongdoings. My biggest piece of advice is to see what side of that fence you're on. Whether it's the right or the wrong, understand that it's not about you. It's not about your partner or your ex-partner. It's now about the kids. So the conversations should all base on being better parents for our kids. You should start from the fucking bottom. And you should actually try your best to rebuild that relationship to where it can come as close to a friendship as you can get. Some achieve the goal, some don't. Are me and my ex-wife the best of friends? No, we're not. Are we friends? Yes. We got kids. No matter what, we have to deal with each other, whether we like it or not, because we have kids. So for 18 years, I got to be in your life, you got to be in my life, whether we like it or not. How do you make those 18 years better and beneficial for your kids? A toxic relationship doesn't do that. Now, I understand that some things don't change. And in that case, you have to remove yourself from anything toxic. You have to be an example of change. You have to be an example of better. And sometimes when you do just that, people have no choice but to look at themselves. When you say, you know what, I've tried and I've done all that I can. At this point, I'm not going to do anything more to damage what we are. I'm going to do my best to be better and hope that you see my attempt and that makes you try as well. Your conversations with your kids shouldn't be about damaging another parent, shouldn't be about talking bad about the other. It should be about making your kid understand the importance of simply being a good individual. When you give these lessons and you beat these things into a child's head and you know that you're doing your best, a kid is going to do their best to understand. And as kids get older, they figure it out on their own. It's your job to give those lessons. It's your job to feed information. But if you match negative with negative, then guess what? You're a part of the problem. So the finger that you're pointing, those three fingers are pointing right back at you at the bottom. Try your best to not be a part of the problem, but to be a part of the solution. That's my advice. Question number three. I hesitate to make transitions into new areas of life and unexplored territories without having some sort of preparation beforehand. I get so worried about failing, I end up doing nothing. How can I just not care about the outcome and just go ahead and try new stuff? It's a good question. Here's what I would say. Failure is something that only exists because of an attempt. Failure doesn't exist from an idea. There has to be an effort behind any idea. So the fear of failure has to be because of multiple fails, maybe? Multiple attempts at something that didn't work? And you don't want to do that again. If that's the case, that's justified. I understand it. If there's a fear just because, then it's not really justified. Either way, I have solutions for both in my mind. Solution number one, nothing good comes easy. It's factual information. It just doesn't come easy, which is not how things work. Maybe you were supposed to fail several times just to make you appreciate the one win that's coming your way. Maybe you were supposed to hit rock bottom because the rewards that come with being at the top are so fruitful that you gotta have a fucking real, real good level of understanding and appreciation so that you don't fuck this win off. When it comes to just thinking about failure, that means you're losing before the game started. You've already put your mindset in the space of losing. And that question, I'm afraid of failure. But why? Why not embrace it? Why not embrace failure? There's education that comes with any loss. A high level of education that comes with any loss. Personal experiences from myself. When I wasn't allowed on certain comedy stages because they said I wasn't too good at one point. Guess what? I wasn't really that good. Was I talented? Yes. Did I know that? Yes. But as I watched other comedians, what I realized is that I'm not giving you any insight into who I am. Oh, shit. I'm not really giving the audience a look into my life so that when they walk away, they go, that guy named such and such that talked about such and such was funny. Oh, I see how I'm not a polished comedian. Oh, I see that I'm just going on stage attempting to be funny and give some funny, but there's no real meaning behind my version of funny at the moment. I'm not good right now. I can be better. This setback, quote unquote failure, gave me a nice vision into understanding what I needed to do. So embrace what could be a loss. Embrace what's quote unquote failure, because the fucking win that's coming behind it is so much bigger than a little piece of pain that you just experienced. Joy is so much better than pain. Joy lasts a lot longer too, which is why sometimes it's earned and it's not given. You'll find it. Be patient, but also be fearless. Once again, be fearless. The worst thing that can happen is you get a no or you get a try again. It's not so bad when you think about it like that. The worst thing I can say is no or try again. That's my piece of advice. Question number four. Life threw me a curveball recently. I lost my father, who was an important part of my business. A friend got HIV. A close family member got in some serious trouble. Coping with all this has taken a lot from me. I now have debt in default. What can I do to overcome this and not be so vulnerable again? First of all, that is a lot. I'm not going to understand how that can weigh on anybody. But one thing that I've learned is that God puts his toughest battles on the strongest soldiers. There's a reason behind everything, and sometimes, you know, It's hard to see that or understand that or figure that out when you're in the moment, especially in the moment of pain. But if you can find strength in these moments, it's not just for you, it's for the ones around you. You're talking about your family. You're talking about other people that are looking for those shoulders to lean on the same way you are. And sometimes these things happen to possibly pull you and yours closer together. There could have been some distance in that family. There could have been some separation. There could have been some space. But because of certain losses, certain alarming events that you didn't see coming, you're forced to hold hands in love at a level that you guys didn't love at before. And within that, there can be bonuses. There can be major pluses. Within that, there's time to celebrate. You celebrate what you remember. You celebrate the good. You don't always think of the bad. The good is that you gained an angel. That's how I look at it. My mom was my best friend. Miss my mom. Love my mom. But I don't look at it as I lost my mom. I just gained an angel. So when I look at all these things that have been happening to me in my life and I somehow managed to be strong enough to make it through or make it out, I talk to my angel. I thank my angel. Because I know you're still there, you're still with me. A relationship doesn't die. It doesn't go away. That's the beauty of a memory. That's the beauty of being able to think. I choose to think about the good times. I choose to embrace all the good moments that me and my mom had. The down is my mom no longer physically being here. But if I chose to dwell on that, then I'm choosing to not move on. Some things we can't unfortunately change. You can't change them. But we do understand that life is still going to continue to go on. So you got to find ways to cope. You got to find ways to manage. I look at it as you got two amazing angels to cope and manage with. You got two people that you can pull good times from whenever you choose to. You got great stories that you can share about great times. It's finding another way to look at things, challenging yourself to find the positives before the negatives. As you do that, you'll find more happiness, you'll find more clarity, and eventually you'll find more ways for you to grow and move on. As you grow and move on, these problems of now become old problems. They just seem like forever problems because you're in a mindset that's not allowing change. Clouds always go away. Sun gonna come out. It's gonna happen. It's not just with the skies, with life. It's your job to understand that and see that. That's my opinion and my advice to you. Question number 5. I struggle with imposter syndrome. Whenever I'm successful or something goes right in my life, I feel like people are going to see through me and that I don't deserve to be there and that I'm not really good enough. It massively affects my confidence. How do I deal with this? I've never heard of imposter syndrome until now, but I'm in a place in my life to where I don't judge. I immediately put myself in a place of understanding because if someone says something, it's for a reason. If this is something that you're struggling with, it's obviously for a reason. My advice in this particular situation is to really ask yourself why you're doubting yourself. I'm quite sure there's a level of effort that goes into what you're doing. I doubt that you're not doing anything. And if you feel like you're not doing anything, then I would challenge you to find ways to do something. If you feel like you're not deserving of a moment or of a position or of a job or of success, then I ask you, what would make you feel like you're deserving? And after you answer that question of what would make you feel like you're now deserving, then I would ask you to go and do that. Nobody needs to know your outside efforts. Nobody needs to know your energy. Nobody needs to know your attempts, your hours, more than you. So if you feel like you should do more, then my question is, why not do more? When you're home, why not open up a book and research or educate or why not figure out ways to prepare for said meeting or said conference? Why not surround yourself with other people that can help you understand more than what you feel you do? There's always ways to get better. So if your feeling is that you're not deserving, then you change that feeling by doing more to make you feel like you're now deserving. If it's a self-thought and a self-problem, then it means you yourself have to fix it because you're looking to be happy with you. It starts by you putting more effort into you. That simple. Now, we've spoken a lot about the problems that people who are married or have children face, but how much time do single people spend preoccupied with dating? Here's a question that addresses that, whether for men or women or non-binary. Why do I get caught up with feelings for women I know aren't right for me? How can I turn those feelings off? That's a real good question. It's a damn good question. I'm gonna do my best to give you a damn good answer. Sometimes we want what we can't have or what we shouldn't have. It's that simple. I know I shouldn't eat ice cream every day, but damn it, ice cream tastes good. I don't necessarily need to be starting my mornings off with it, but let me just get a little scoop. Put a little scoop of ice cream on my spoon, and I'm gonna taste it in the morning. Yeah, I know it's 7 a.m. You know what? Ice cream doesn't really go with breakfast, but if I just take a little scoop, that ain't gonna hurt nobody. I know I ain't supposed to have it, but I like the way it tastes on my tongue. You know you shouldn't have that. Not at this time of day. But yet still you do it. You do it because something about that makes you want that. Well, it's the same thing with people. Sometimes you're attracted to that shit that you know you shouldn't have. And I hate to call it shit because it shouldn't be called shit. When I'm in a flow of things, sometimes I use the word shit in a loving way. This is a loving way to use the word shit. Sometimes you just want shit that you shouldn't have. So you gotta be strong enough to go, I don't need that shit. Damn it. Why am I catching feelings right now for this girl that I know I got no future with? Is it lust? Is it conversation? Is it because she reminds me of myself? What is it? Whatever that thing is, man, there may not be a future in this, so I may not need to invest this high level of love. Let me turn that down to a good level of like. I'm going to turn it down. Now that I turned it down, I put it in a place where I can't fucking get out of order. I can't get out of whack because I've already put it in my head what this is. This way, I don't bite off more than I can chew. This means that I'm not going to just take a spoonful of the ice cream and put the spoon down. This is preventing myself from possibly eating that whole fucking bucket in the morning. I don't want that shit. So you got to tell yourself the shit that you need versus what you don't need. In this case, you don't need that. My advice. By the way, I've stepped in a lot of shit. I've had stinky shoes for a long time. I track shit all in the house. Got to be the dumbest person when it comes to stepping in shit. And I'm talking in my metaphor and in real life. For some reason, I just attract dog shit. I don't know what it is. It's all over the backyard. I know my kids see it. I know they do. But whatever, it is what it is. I think it's a game they play. Selfish-ass kids. But guess what? The joke's on you. The joke's on you. You know why? Because stepping in shit is only bad if you don't wipe it off. Think about it. Tracking shit gives you the smell that you do not want. But catching that shitty smell and getting it off puts you in a positive place and makes you feel like you are shit-free. Hey, guys, I think that may have... That may be a golden nugget. I think I may have just made a bad situation a good situation. That's what I did. I flipped it. Another little piece of truth. I've been smelling shit since I've been in this booth. So there's a chance that I didn't get it all off of this shoe. We'll deal with that when I'm done. But I think it's definitely in here. Okay? We can move past this, but I just wanted to be honest. Sometimes you guys come in and out of here. It's not me. It's dog shit. Let's keep the party going. Question number 7. I lost my business and I feel stuck. I don't know what to do now. If I should start again or do I go another direction? I feel lost and stuck. Well, how'd you start that business? You used the word my. You said, I lost my business. So how'd you start it? After you figure out how you started it, the question is, could you start another one? Why'd you lose it? Do you feel like it was because of your mistakes? Do you feel like it was because of people that you hired and their wrongdoing? If we were to analyze this business fully and look at all the ins and outs, how many things would come back to you? And if you could do it all again and change stuff, what would those things be that you would change? After you get all those answers, the best thing is that you're getting a lesson. You're getting a lesson. You're getting an understanding of the right way and the wrong way. And now with that understanding, does that make you better for the new opportunity that you're going to prepare yourself for? People that start businesses have a talent. That's a talent. Everybody doesn't do it. Everybody walking the street doesn't have a business. Everybody doesn't have an idea to start and run a business. So those that do have a talent. Don't walk away from your talent. Sit down, give yourself a second to think, and really analyze that situation to the fullest. And after doing that, tell me the best way to come out of it and do better than what you did before. The answers are right in front of you, whether you like it or not. Question number 8. I procrastinate a lot. How do I avoid procrastination and do more stuff like you? That's a question. I mean, look, let's talk about procrastination in itself. Procrastination basically means that you're putting off the obvious. You're putting off what you know you should do or you could do. Procrastination doesn't mean that you can't. It's not the definition behind the word. It doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to do. It means that you love to simply delay. You love to not do. You love to allow time to just go by. And after it goes by, you like the problem that comes with going, fuck, I was supposed to do, but I didn't because I put it off. I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll do it the day after tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Procrastination is a never-ending cycle of just putting something off. So when you say, how do you not do it? Well, you do what needs to be done. You get the work done. After you get the work done, it's time for fun. You work hard so you can play harder. I'm going to tell you how I tell my kids. As soon as you walk in the door, you know you got homework to do. Knock your homework out. Get it done. Get it out the way. After the homework is done, you know that all your responsibilities are taken care of, and now the rest of your night is yours. It's the same thing with life. Do the things that you know you have to be done, so when they're done, you know that your responsibilities are always checked. There's nothing that should be a bigger priority than your responsibilities. Procrastination is not understanding what the priorities are and not understanding the importance of responsibility. Check both of those boxes, and procrastination is a conversation of the past. It's that simple. Responsibility, priority. Prioritize. Procrastination doesn't exist when you do that correctly. That's my opinion. Nothing more. Question number 9. How do you pick a way of life? Or at least a kind of career path if you're someone who feels good at everything but cannot commit to one particular thing? Thanks in advance. How do you pick a way of life? That's a tough question. Listen to what you just asked. How do you pick a way of life? Here's the thing. You're making a choice to go down a path. We discussed this. And that path that you go down is one that you feel is right for you. There's good paths, there's bad paths. Now, when you talk about a way of life, it gets complicated when you say that. Because a way of life can get broken down into different things. Religion, you know, you can choose to be celibate. You can choose to be a monk if you wanted to. Sometimes the course of life chooses you. Sometimes you don't know the path that you're going to be on in your future. That path found you. So I think the best way to answer this question is to make sure you're open to change. So that way, when the opportunity of change comes, you're willing to accept. I don't think that you should already have your mind made up and be predetermined as to what should or what can without knowing. You gotta be open to education, understanding, and experience. That's simple, because that's the beauty of life. Life throws things at you that you are forced to make a decision on whether to accept or not accept. And after making those decisions, that's when you find yourself walking down a path. It's a never-ending path. A never-ending path. People that become some of the best humanitarians or philanthropists. God damn it, I have trouble with this word. Philanthropists. The people that fucking help people. You know what I'm talking about. Something about the L and the P, the way it's connected. The T, the P, they smashed it all together in that word, and I don't think it's fair. I need to change that word to the people that help people do stuff on a high level. There you go. New word alert. People that help people do stuff on a high level. That's a new word. Put it in there. Either way, that's not something that you choose. That's something that you find a love for. You find a love for it. You find a love for helping others. You find a love for making change. You find a love for having an impact. That's the road that found you. Open your mind up. Be willing to accept. Be willing to understand. Be willing to explore. In my opinion, that's the best way to pick away at life. Let life kind of pick you. Now, here's the other side of that question. You said that you're someone who feels good at everything but can't commit to one particular thing. First of all, it's an amazing thing to feel like you're good at everything. That's how you should feel. You should feel like there's nothing that you can't do. But, my question is, feeling like you're good at everything and being great at one thing. Now, that's a different conversation. Eventually, you got to focus on something so you can be great at that something. You can't be great at everything. You can be good at everything, but you can't be great at everything. You can be great at a couple things, but not everything. So I would say, what are you devoting the most of your time to? And that thing that you choose to devote the most of your time to, then that's the thing that you're great at. That's where your focus should then be thrown towards. Now, you can still go dabble in the other things, but the thing that you're great at is what demands the most of you. That's a real thing. I feel like I'm good at a lot of things. I'm one of the best badminton players in the goddamn world. Handball. And I'm not talking about playing with myself. I'm talking about real handball. I'm good at it. Always have been. Kickball. I'm good at it. Hopscotch. Fucking amazing at hopscotch. Okay? Jumping rope. I'm okay. I'm not my best, but I'm okay. Running. I'm good at it. Taking care of myself. Health and wellness. I'm good at it. Stand-up comedy. I'm fucking great at it. I don't care what you say. I'm great at it. And that's what gets the most of my time. Acting. I'm good at it. I love it. I'm not great at it. I'm good. I'm a good actor. I'm a good comedic actor. I'm not going to go play Thor. You know, y'all not going to see me pop up in Game of Thrones with an accent. I don't know if I can pull that off. Thou altis notis. I'm going to cut myself. I fucked that one up, director. Kev, you keep mixing slang in with the language from this time period. Thou altis no nothing, motherfucker. Cut! I'm good at it. Stand-up is where I'm great. I said it to say, pick your thing and focus on your thing. Be great at the thing that you give the most of your time to. Ooh, that was a goddamn golden nugget. That's a golden nugget. That one had extra gold on it. That was a goddamn 24-karat gold nugget in your ear. Don't wash that ear. Whichever ear you had closest to the speaker, don't wash that one. It's a solid gold nugget dropped off. Dropping off. This is trouble friending for your ass. Shout out to all my philanthropists. God damn it. Fuck, man. Why would they do that? Why would they make that word like that? Philanthropist. I sound like Mike Tyson now. Philanthropist. That's such a tough word. Question number 10. I had a hard childhood. I grew up very poor. My father and my brother died from overdoses. And my friends are all stuck in a small mindset. But I overcame a lot and started a number of businesses and have done well. But I get very defensive. I feel like people want to take me down. Or they treat me like I'm stupid. And when that happens, I get upset or sometimes hostile. So what do you do when other people try to bring you down or just act like they're better than you? Ooh, this is a good one, trouble friend right here. Because this takes us to moments earlier on in our book, you know? This is when you got to activate that force field, right? This is when your force field is important. First of all, when people are trying to bring you down, that's a sign of envy. When people are attacking what you do and trying to prevent you from doing it to the best of your ability, it's a sign of envy. Sometimes when people can't, they attack. I can't do that. So then in return, that's stupid. I don't have that. So guess what? Then I don't like that. That's the mindset of some, not all, of some. But if you're doing what you love, if you're taking steps in the direction of forward progress and having success while doing it, then that's a good thing for you. Don't allow people to get you upset when you're doing what you want to do. They should have no control and no impact on your journey. Now, when you talk about how angry you get, well, you're obviously an individual that's dealt with a lot. You just said your father and your brother died from overdoses. That's some serious stuff to have on your back. That's some serious weight to carry. And you know what? Not many can understand that because not many have experienced what you've experienced. But I will say this, to experience that and still be present and still be moving on, that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. I will preach this until the day I die. You got to find a positive and a negative. And that positive is that with all that has happened, you're still standing and you're still going. That's a beautiful thing. Take that light, shine that light on yourself. Make sure that you realize what you've done and that you've got more to do. Other people shouldn't have an impact on that. Other people shouldn't be able to prohibit you from doing that. You getting defensive is you throwing energy to people that have no control over your future destination. Put up the force field. Put up the force field and let that shit bounce off you, man. It has no effect. Ping pong, pow, force field. And also understand this, man. I can only give you the answer that I gave you because I can somewhat relate. You know, I came from nothing. I was told that I wasn't going to make it. I was told that I'm not funny. I was told that I'm too small. I was told that I don't look the part. You name it, it was said to me. But it never rocked me to the point where I got so upset that I got so defensive that I had to argue about what I felt I was. I never felt like I gotta argue with this person to prove to this person that I'm different and I'm gonna do what I said I was gonna do. That's a lot of energy. It's a lot of negative energy being fed back and forth. Negative energy loves to eat negativity, man. It just grows. I never did that. I never did that. So even growing up the way that I grew up, my want was always to get out. My want was always to get out and do more and have more. The conversation of others was, you ain't going nowhere. This is what it is. This is life. This is what we see. This is what we're accustomed to. This is what it's going to be. All that dreaming shit is for the birds. If I got very defensive and hostile about shit like that, I wouldn't be where I am today. Don't get that shit your energy. Put your fucking force field up. Boom. That's the sound my force fields make when I put it up. Boom. Now I'm going to put it down. Boom. See that? That's the sound mines make. I suggest you create a sound for your force field. Nobody else will know what you're doing. It'll only be funny to you. That's a laugh that you'll have no matter what. Somebody comes with negativity. Hey, you can't. You not. You can. Vroom. What you doing? Who's that? Who was that? What's that noise about? And then when they stop talking, go, boom. They'll have no idea what you're doing. Force field on and off. Question number 11. How can I work hard enough to get successful in a career when my children take up my time and emotional energy? Well, I think this is a question that so many people not only probably want to ask, but would love to hear what my answer is. First of all, I don't think there's any amount of energy that matches the energy of a child. Let's just get that out the way. I don't know what it is they put in these kids, but they're getting faster. They're getting more active. They're talking way more. My son, at the age 2, talked to me for 2.5 hours straight, sat on the couch during Monday Night Football and made eye contact the whole time. Several times I asked what the fuck your problem was. Of course, I didn't cuss at him. I said it in my head, but I gave him angry eyes. Daddy. Night. Eat up, down. Just a bunch of shit. Takes a lot of energy to deal with these fucking kids, man. And guess what? Some people say they don't have it. Some people get worn out. Ugh, oh, I'm so tired. I got nothing else left to give. Damn kids are wearing me out. But then there's some people, Nancy Annalee Hart. That's my mom, guys. Who didn't have it, but found a way. They found a way. They found a way through help, through the involvement of extracurricular activities, to finding things that were out there available to kids that weren't as expensive as some would think they were, that could occupy a child's time over the course of hours such to such. And during those hours where that child is occupied, they found ways to maximize their potential and be productive for them during that time. No matter what, there's enough time in a day for us all to do the things that we have to do. Managing that time is where talent comes in. Managing that time. You know what's crazy? My wife threw Kenzo in school. Kenzo was in school at, I don't know, 15 months, 16 months. I was like, Jesus Christ, honey, what are you doing? Why is he in school? Because it's here. It's available. He should be around other kids. He should interact. And he could be in that school from 8 to 3. God, what? Honey, he's 14 months or something. He can't. That's too young. No, it's not. And that's time that I could use. That's time that I could go and do things that I have to do during the day. I can check in. They got cameras so I can see. You can watch. He'll learn. He'll interact, etc. All right, honey, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. Sweetie, as a mother, if you feel like this is the right decision, then I back you. Not only is it the right decision, that's why this goddamn fucking baby came home talking up a storm. Because he got around them other kids, start learning the English language faster. Lam and loom and lam, words right after. I say that to say, over the course of the hours from 8 to 3, she takes that time to be active for her. Whether it's her gym schedule, whether it's the errands that she runs, regardless of what these things are for whomever, that time slot is now productive for her. Find the things that can take up that time throughout the course of a day that allows your kid to be productive while you do the same. There's always a way. You just got to find it. But don't get beat down by the wear and tear that comes with looking after a child. It's the hardest job in the world. Raising a kid is pound for pound the hardest job in the world. I will never overlook that. Shouts out to all the men and women that do it so well. True heroes. You got to fight that fight. That's never going to be easy. Point blank. Never going to be easy. Question number 12. What do you do when you strive to be kind and make the world a better place, but you're living in an illogical and corrupt world where all the power is in the hands of politicians and corporations that are out for themselves? Oof. You know what my answer is to this question? It's actually quite simple. When you're striving to be kind and make the world a better place, then that's a movement that you've embarked on and that's self-fulfilling for you. And the real answer should come to you is that, is there an end to that movement? Are you ever going to live in a world where everybody is kind and happy? We don't know. But what I can do is do my best to touch as many as I can and reach as many as I can. And in doing that, if I can see a sign of happy in return, then I'm doing my part. When it comes to the world of corporations or politicians, that's going to be that. Those things are going to exist. And you can't change them all. But if you can change a couple, if you got to a couple, then that's a job well done. Spreading positivity is simply you putting your energy around the environments that you are in. The places that you can't go and the people that you don't know, you have no control. But I'll tell you what you do have control over. Your day-to-day, the people that you interact with. Right now, I myself have made it a priority to put as much love into the world as I possibly can. When I say live, love, laugh, that's what I live by. It's the three L's. Live, love, laugh. That's what I live by. I want to make the world a better place. So through my growth and now through my voice, I will give as much as I possibly can to have that impact. Those that receive it, hooray, I've done good. Those that don't, I hope and pray that they will. But I can't control it. You can't fight that battle because then you're no longer doing what you set out to do. You're no longer being kind. You're no longer spreading love when you start to fight. So I say all that to say, don't fight. Continue to do what you do. Trust me when I tell you, it's being received in some way, shape, or form. By the way, I appreciate you. We need more like you. See that? You just did your job. You got me to talk about your initiative in a positive way. So ask yourself how many other people are doing the same thing after you shared what you want. Come on now. That's called a golden nugget. 68 carats in your ear. Somebody's whole ear is gold right now. Yeah, baby. Yeah. God, I should have just did this for a living. I should have just been a trouble friender. Just trouble friended everything. That's what I could have did. Too late. Too late. Question number 13. You are confident. I underestimate myself. How can I get the kind of success you have if I don't have your kind of belief in myself? First things first, you should never chase another person's success. You know why? Because that's their success. You want your success. You want your version of success. So the doubt or the disbelief can come from chasing something that's not for you. The confidence comes from achieving the baby steps along the way to the goal at hand that's for you. You want your success. For example, I don't want Eddie Murphy's success because I can never be Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy is on a fucking pedestal all by himself. I don't want Richard Pryor's success because I can never be Richard Pryor. He's on a pedestal all by himself. George Carlin is on a pedestal all by himself. I say that to say, I admire those men. I'm a fan plus fan plus fan plus fan of their talent. But I can't pattern my career after what they did. I gotta try to make a career for myself by doing what I did. Your success comes from being you. Your confidence comes from realizing that you're capable of greatness for you. That's simple. It's that simple. And just because I'm really ambitious, and I want to show you how I like to overshoot my goals, I'm going to add a 14 question in. Never let it be said that I don't practice what I preach. This is a big one, by the way. Forgiveness is a difficult thing to go through, but forgetting is much more difficult. Can you give advice on both? How do you forgive? And how do you forget? And how do you grow from the two? This is a three-parter. Three-parter questions are good questions to answer. Because you got to answer the three parts of the question. That's why I call it a three-parter. I think my brother may have actually wrote this question. Because this is what my brother suffers from. My brother is one of the biggest grudge holders in the United States of America. My ongoing conversation with my brother is, what are you gaining from holding on to this level of anger? My brother has a difficult time forgiving somebody. But here's the beauty of forgiving somebody. When somebody does something to hurt you, and you realize that you're hurt from that person's actions, well, you got a choice to make. Do I want to wake up every morning and be hurt and be angry at this person? Or have I realized that the days are still going to move on, life isn't going to stop, and because of that, I can't stop? Of course, I'm human. Of course, I have emotions. Of course, sometimes those emotions are going to rear their head, but those emotions can't be the cause of me becoming the worst version of me. So you know what? What's done is done. I can't change it. I choose to get by this moment. You did what you did. You're human. You apologize for it. I accept your apology. But you know what? We're probably never going to be the same. That doesn't mean that we can't be friends. That doesn't mean that you're not still in my life. It means that I know we can't be the same, but I also know that I've made the choice to forgive. Now, when you say forget, that's impossible for most. Most people can't forget, but you can move past. You can move past a moment. Yeah, you can still think about it. You're human. Yeah, it can be a thought that pops in your head. You're human. But that thought should not make you become the worst version of you. It should not prohibit you from forward progress. The best way to grow is to continue to move forward. The best way to grow is to not be affected from a life-changing perspective. That's how I'm gonna grow. Yes, you hurt me. Yes, it's tough to forget, but I'm gonna move on and I'm gonna continue to succeed. Because that's what I'm supposed to do for me. Not for anybody else, but for me. That's how you forgive, and that's how you move on. The word forget, that's a tough word. Because once again, you're human. You're human. Some people can just fucking drop stuff and never think about it again. I gotta be honest with you. I have that talent. I can't tell you any of my jokes from I'm a Grown Little Man. I can't repeat a joke to you from Laugh at My Pain. I can't repeat a joke right now from Seriously Funny if you paid me money and you said, Kevin, say the first 5 minutes of that set. I promise you, hand on the Bible, on my mother, I can't do it. The material's dead to me. I forgot it. But I still remember some of my exes from high school. I still remember my first love, and I still remember how it hurt. I still remember my first crush, and the girl told me I had yellow teeth. Fuck you, Becky! I remember. But that doesn't mean that it stopped me from doing what I'm doing and getting to where I'm at. Yeah, you can buckle, but you don't break. You grow. You grow by moving forward. That's the best answer I can give you to that three-parter. I don't know. I feel like it was a good goddamn answer, to be honest with you. I feel like it was a good goddamn answer. I got to call my wife, guys. Give me a second. See, this is how authentic and transparent I am. Hey, babe.
Yeah, I didn't see you.
Well, honey, I know you didn't see me because I'm not there. I had to get up this morning, and I had to go record my book, honey, right now. You called me in the middle of you. You called me in the middle.
You said anything.
Well, honey, I don't say anything because you're sleeping. So I did say something, but you were sleeping. I kissed your forehead.
No, you didn't.
I kissed your forehead. You just told me you were sleeping. How are you going to tell me that I didn't kiss your forehead when you were sleeping? How can you debate that?
I can't feel you.
Honey, you can't feel me because you were sleeping. I'm recording my audiobook right now, honey. Don't fuss with me while I'm in the mode of dropping golden nuggets to these people that need them.
Okay.
All right? Now, right now... Well, no, honey, I'm not in the gym. I'm in the audio booth recording my book.
Okay.
All right? Is Zoe up?
No.
I told the world how Zoe started school. What? How old was Zoe when you put him in school? He was how many months?
He wasn't 2 years. He was about 21 months.
21 months? All right, well, I was way off. I told the world he was 13 to 14 months. I'm glad we corrected that because I would have been a liar.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that's good to know. So he was 21 months. So
yeah,
he was
almost two.
And then he came home talking up a fucking storm. That's what I told him. I told the people that. All right, I'm almost done here. We're approaching the end. I'm in my trouble friending section. So let me get back to the people and doing what I do best, honey. Making the world a better place.
All right.
All right, I love you.
Why are you using that voice?
Because I'm recording my book! Fuck!
Love you, buddy.
Love you. Bye. Sorry, world. Just want you guys to see that I am what I say I am. Transparent. Okay? There you go, guys. That's wisdom. I don't know what else to call it. That's straight from the source. From the fucking heart, people. That's what I got to give. Now go live your best life. You can start by doing this. When this track finishes, don't go jump on your phone or start watching videos and erase all the good work that we've done just to get here. Sit with this for a while. Let it marinate. Keep expanding that sense of gratitude. Your positive mindset is the greatest asset you have, and you're listening to this because you know that. So protect your mental. If you need help building it back up, come back anytime. Dip into this audiobook at any point and grab a golden nugget of my best shit. The doors to my boot camp are always open for you. And here's the good news. I'll be waiting. This has been an Audible Originals production of The Decision. Overcoming today's BS for tomorrow's success. Written and performed by Kevin Hart. Executive producer, David Blum. Najin Naylor and Mike Charzuk. Editorial producer, Stacey Creamer. Directed and produced by Chelsea Pita. Edited and mastered by Real Audiobooks. Copyright 2019 by Kevin Hart. Sound recording copyright 2019 by Audible Originals LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.